Well, it is good to be in church on Sunday morning. Brother Amsbaugh, there are only 12 people glad to be in church on Sunday morning. That's very sad. Let's try that again. You weren't ready for interaction, were you? All right, now get warmed up. Are you ready? It's good to be in church on Sunday morning. Amen. Oh, amen. I knew you felt that way deep down in your heart. I knew you did. How could you not feel that way after listening to the choir sing what they just sang? I was thinking if I'd have had them with me 2 weeks ago in Alabama and they'd have done either one or both of those songs down there in Roanoke, Alabama. Of course, we'd have had the congregation outnumbered. But if you'd have been there and the orchestra had been playing and the choir had been singing, they would have been jumping and shouting and running pews and waving hankies and all manner of stuff. Amen. That was a blessing. I'm so glad to be here. We've been looking forward to coming, and I trust that you have been preparing your heart for the next several days and that you're planning to be here tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Don't miss, or somebody will have to explain it to you, and it won't be as good if they have to explain it. You need to come and be here. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and open it up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, Psalm 100. When you find that, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the beautiful new day that You've given to us. Thank You for the good time that we had together in Sunday school this morning and already for this service, the rejoicing, the singing, the fellowship. Lord, it has been good already to be in Your house. And we just ask now that as we look into Your Word, that Your Holy Spirit would have free reign in this place today. God, if there's one here lost, I pray they wouldn't leave that way. But we ask that You'd meet each and every need represented in this room. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look again here at this little chapter. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, it's one thing to say, serve the Lord with gladness. And it's a whole nother thing to serve the Lord with gladness. It's easy to say that. It's easy to read that. But it's not always easy to do that because, and I know that you'll agree with me, not every day is a glad day. It's just not. Some days are bad days. Some days are discouraging days. Some days are days that you look back on and you say to yourself, if that day had never come in my life, I'd be better off. That was an awful day. It was a terrible day. It was a tragic day. I wish I could have missed that day altogether. And because we live in a sin-cursed world, we all have those days. And yet, we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, I'm going to make a confession this morning. I don't know that I should, but I'm going to. There's nobody here but us. Amen. I'm a news junkie. I am. I watch the news, I listen to the news, I read the news. The news pops up on my phone without me even looking for it. There it is, boom. Some tragedy happens around the world, I'm the first to know. There it is. And we're inundated with that 24 hours a day. Some of you are old as dirt like me. Amen, yes. Thank you for your honesty, I appreciate that. I used to say that, nobody agreed with me. And now they go, yeah, you're old as dirt, sure enough. I did get my first senior discount in January. And I don't even qualify. No. I won't be 55 until August. And there we were in a buffet line in Yakima, Washington in January. And the 12-year-old behind the counter said, three seniors? I said, no. Even if the cutoff is 55, I don't qualify yet. Amen? But I did take the discount. That was a blessing. I'll take the discount. Yeah. Do you remember the good old days when news only happened once a day? It only happened once a day. You had to turn it on at the right time, and you had an hour to watch it, local, national, and then it was over, and you just forget about it for the rest of the day. And now we have it all the time. Listen, you know what that'll do for you? It will suck the joy right out of your life. That's what it'll do. You're surrounded constantly by bad news and tragedy and all the rest. There's not a special good news hour in the afternoon where they tell you happy things. It's all bad all the time. And if they can't find anything bad, they'll go all the way around the world to find it. And if there's still nothing, they'll tell you about something that might happen tomorrow. Maybe. Just so they have something bad to give you. And that's around us all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. And then we show up in church and we say, serve the Lord with gladness. And you're thinking, if you knew what I know, you wouldn't say that. Do you understand the horrible thing that just happened last night? Do you know what could happen today? Do you know what might happen tomorrow? I mean, the whole thing could blow apart just like that. Well, I'm not going to pretend that's not true. It could. Have you seen the news? I mean, it could. All it would take is one goofy little dictator somewhere to push the wrong button. And boom, there we go. All it would take is one bomb to drop in the wrong spot at the wrong time. There's not a thing in the world we can do about it. The whole thing just explodes. You say, well, that's tragedy. That's terrible. That's awful. Cheer up. It hadn't happened yet. Amen. We're still alive today. Thank God for that. We're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness. How in the world do we do that in the world in which we live? Well, the answer is we have to get our focus shifted off of the immediate and onto the eternal. Look, if you would, down a little bit further. Look at verse 3 there. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I can sum that whole verse up for you in one simple little statement. You can write this down. You can make bumper stickers out of this. You can post it. You can tweet it if you don't have a life. Are you ready? Thank you for being awake. Amen. God is God and you're not. That's what verse 3 says. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Do you know what sheep worry about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know what a sheep has to do in order to have a good life, a successful life? All he ever has to do is follow the shepherd. And if he just follows the shepherd, he'll have food, he'll have water, he'll have shelter. When it's shearing time, he'll be taken care of. He'll be protected from enemies. As long as he follows the shepherd, he will have a good life. God said, that's who you are as my people. You're my people. You are the sheep of my pasture. Then look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How do you shift your focus off of the immediate onto the eternal? That little word right there, thanksgiving, is the key. Thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Then verse 5 gives you three reasons. For the Lord is good. Did you know that it doesn't matter where you are or what circumstance is going on in your life or what happened yesterday or what might happen tomorrow? That statement is always true without exception. For the Lord is good. Thank God for that. That's an eternal truth that never changes, no matter what the circumstance of the day may bring forth. Look, if you would, again at verse 5, the second phrase. His mercy is everlasting. Again, an eternal truth that never changes. I got saved when I was 7 years old in Vacation Bible School at Saldatna Baptist Church in Saldatna, Alaska. That day, I heard the gospel and I understood that Jesus died for me and I was a sinner. And I reached out and I grabbed onto the mercy of God. That mercy has been with me ever since. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it won't stop here. It'll be with me forever. You see, His mercy is everlasting. And look at the last part. And His truth endureth to all generations. I know there are folks today who would tell you that, you know, this old Bible, it's not relevant. And there is nothing more relevant than the Word of God. There's nothing more relevant than that. You see, the things God had written down thousands of years ago are still true today. And they will always be true. Without exception, it tells us His truth endureth to all generations. You don't need something more and different today than Jesus Christ. You still need the same salvation they needed 50, 100, 200, 300 years ago. You see, His truth endureth to all generations. And yet, we live lives of anxiety, and fear, and depression, and sadness. Can I just tell you that ought not be for the child of God? It ought not be. We should be able to serve the Lord with gladness. And quite often the problem is that we have forgotten thanksgiving. We have forgotten to be thankful to God for all the things He has done for us. You can be thankful this morning for the things that God did and had settled in your life before you even got out of bed today. I mean the things that were finished and settled and you didn't have to worry about this morning. You can be thankful for your family. I lost some of you right there. I could tell. It was like a cloud settled over some of your eyes. Let's skip that. No. I know what you're thinking. You don't know my family. Oh, but I do. I do. Last night, you see, Brother Edwards has known you for a long time. And we had some time together last night. And so last night, he gave me a list all about your family. No, he didn't. You're going to think he did in a minute, but he didn't. He didn't do that. But you know what? I can tell you some things about your family because I do know some things about your family. You know what I know about your family? It is a dysfunctional mess. Yeah, I mean you. It's a dysfunctional mess. He did tell on us. No. He didn't tell me. You know how I knew that? They're all a dysfunctional mess. Don't think you're special. Every family is a dysfunctional mess. It really is. There's no other kind. You want to find dysfunctional families? Just open this book up and start to read. It starts in Genesis with Adam and Eve, the very first family. Perfect people in a perfect world with no sin around. How do you mess that up? And yet they did. Amen? There they are in a perfect environment. Everything is great. They walk and talk physically with God every day. And all of a sudden, the serpent shows up and he beguiles Eve and she takes the fruit. And then the first thing she does is run out and get everybody she can find and drags them in there with her. Just one guy. There's only one guy to find, but she got him. And there they are. And next thing you know, sin is in the world. And then they have children and it is all downhill from there. It really is. They have children and then Cain and Abel have their conflict and there's murder and there's separation and there's division. And it just keeps going that way. Listen, we talked about Abraham this morning in Sunday school. You want to find a dysfunctional family. Just look at Abraham and Sarah. Do you remember what Abraham did? They went down into Egypt. And Abraham told everybody that Sarah was his sister because he was afraid they'd kill him and take her. And so he said, this is my sister. Marries her off. And God has to show up in the middle of the night and stop it. And say, hold it. That's a married woman right there. Brother Tim, you just try that. Let's try it. See how that goes for you. Amen. You say, well, Abraham and Sarah were so spiritual that she probably never brought that up again. Right. Yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just believe that if you want to. Amen. So, go ahead. Take her into D.C. next week. Tell everybody that's your sister. Marry her off. See if she never brings that one up again. I promise you. Listen, I hope when we get to heaven, we can watch the replays of all the big stuff. I want to see Noah. I want to see Jonah. I want to see Lazarus come out of the tomb. I want to see Jesus walking on the water. I want to see all of it. But I hope God lets us see some of the stuff that's just kind of in between that just isn't written down. I want to see Abraham and Sarah sitting alone in the tent. You know, nothing else going on. When Abraham says to Sarah one day, I believe God would have us to do this. And Sarah looks at him and says, in a loving, submissive way, you thought it was a good idea to tell everybody I was your sister, too. Oh, she wouldn't have done that. Listen, this is not a book of mythology and fairy tales. These are real people with real feelings and just like you are, just like I am. And I promise you that came up for a long time, a long time. We don't even have to talk. We don't even have to talk about Hagar and Ishmael and all the rest. Listen, it was a dysfunctional mess. The whole thing. You said, well, that's just terrible. That's awful. Why would God even waste his time on such messed up people? Because that's all he has to choose from. Really? So, well, if I was just as spiritual as so-and-so, I could serve God. Listen, if you're waiting until you're super spiritual to do anything for God, you're wasting your time. Why don't you just go ahead and serve God and he'll continue the work in you? Amen. Why don't you just do that? That'll come out a lot better for you. You see, you can be thankful for your family. God put you right in the family you needed to be in. It was not an accident. God gave you the parents that he wanted you to have. He put you in the family. And I know I've spoken to people who said terrible, awful things happened in our family. I understand. Don't blame that on God. That's because of sin. And awful things ought not happen, but they do. But can you just follow my thinking for just a minute? If you'll get your focus onto the eternal, you can even use bad things that happened for the glory and honor of God. You can use those things after God's brought you through them to help somebody else who's struggling with the same thing. And God can be glorified even through bad things that happened in your life. What a wonderful God. You see, you can be thankful for your family. You can be thankful for your friends. The older I get, the more I appreciate friends. I do. I was just thinking last night, this morning, I was sitting out there in the foyer and talking to Hope and David, my kids, and I was telling them about years ago coming here. I don't remember when the first time was, 96 or 97. And I remember how young some of you were back then. Brother Edwards, everybody around us is getting old. I don't know why that's happening. I do too. But listen, that's been a long time ago. It's good to have friends. It is. Like, you can just walk right in and there's my friend that I haven't spoken to in forever, but that's still my friend. Amen. God gives us those along the way. You know who your friends are today? Just look around you. So, well, my friend's down at the tattoo parlor and the... No, that's not your friend. These are your friends. You know who's going to show up at your house when you have a problem? These folks. You know who's going to be there in the middle of the night when you have a crisis? You're going to call. One of these folks is going to show up. You need to move from point A to point B and all you have is a little tiny smart car. You need somebody with a real truck. Amen. And it'll be somebody sitting here who pulls up with a real truck with a gun rack in the back. And they'll help you move all your stuff. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because these are your friends. You ought to be thankful. Be thankful for your friends. Your family, your friends. Listen, you can be thankful for your nation. You didn't have to crawl out of bed this morning and say, well, I better find a family today. I got to make me some friends today. I got to decide what country I'm going to be in today. You got out of bed this morning in the greatest country in all the world. You didn't do anything about that today. That was already done before you ever got up. Oh, I know it's got problems. Yes, it's probably got way more problems than you ever imagined. And I know the whole thing could just blow apart. I understand. But it hasn't yet. Amen. It is still the greatest country in all the world. I don't know if you've noticed, but people are still trying to get into this country. They are not sneaking into North Korea today. They're not doing that. They're not sneaking into some of the South American countries and some of the European. They're not trying to get in. They're trying to get out. Where are they going? They want to come here. Why? Well, because it's still the greatest place in all the world. We still have more freedom. We still have more opportunity than anywhere else in the world. And by the way, that's because of our founding on godly biblical principles. And quite honestly, the further we get from those principles, the less blessing we will see. But if we can somehow get a hold of those again, we'll see more blessing than we ever imagined. We're still reaping the benefits of that founding over 200 years ago. Listen, you can be thankful for your country, but those are all just physical, material things. Those pale in comparison to the spiritual blessings God has already given us and things that were settled. When I got out of bed this morning, I didn't roll over and say, wow, I wonder if I'm going to heaven or not. You know why? That was settled a long time ago. That's done. Even if I have a lousy day tomorrow, I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. My sins are still forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. Even if it's rainy and nasty and cold and snows again. Global warming, right there. I'm praying that it'll kick in sooner or later. Listen, those things come and go, but the things of real value never go. The redemption that I received as a child in Vacation Bible School is still available today. Still available. The same salvation that I got, the same forgiveness that I got, the same mercy that I received, it is still available today to each and every one. Thank God for that. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to make it happen. It's already done and waiting for you. Listen, when I came along as a 7-year-old kid who needed to be saved, you know what had been done already thousands of years before that? God had already provided the means of my redemption. It didn't have to happen on that day. It had already been done. All I had to do was take advantage of what God had already done. Listen, even if you have a bad day, you can still be thankful for the things God's already done in your life, because He has done much. You can be thankful for what He's doing right now. God is at work in your life right now. I promise you He is. I know sometimes folks don't see how God is working in their lives. If you're not sure that God is working in your life, you can just stick a couple of fingers right there and wait a minute and see if you feel something. It should be something going boom, 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 like that in there. If you try that and it's not, let us know after church. If you made it this long, you can wait till after church. We're going to have to do something about that. You know what that means? Your heart's still pumping. Your lungs are still working. Your brain is still functioning. You know what that means? God is not done with you yet. Usually when people think that God's not doing anything in their lives, it's because God hasn't answered a certain prayer when or how they thought that He should. I have a recommendation for you. Next time you have an opportunity to hear testimonies from folks, and somebody stands up and says, this is what God did for me this week. This is what you need to do. Go to them and rejoice with them. That'll do two very valuable things for you. It'll get your focus off of yourself, which is always good. And it'll remind you that God is still working. You see, if God can answer his prayer, he can answer your prayer. And if God just did something for her, he can do something for you. And if he just did something for that family, he can still work in your family. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. Don't stop being faithful. Listen, you might have to wait a little while, but you just trust God and you be patient. God is at work in your life. I promise you, you'll know when he's done. You'll know. It'll be very clear. Be very clear. It won't matter how much juice they send through you or anything else. When God is done, you're done. That's all there is to it. You can be thankful for the things God has done in the past. You can be thankful for what he's doing right now. But you can be thankful for what is yet to come. For a lot of folks, that's the problem. What is yet to come? Because honestly, that can be a little bit scary. Especially if you watch the news. You think, well, on the world scene, there's terrible things happening and there are countries just ready to attack each other and do terrible things and a whole world war could explode and it's horrible. It's terrible. Yes, that's horrible. That's terrible. It is. But can I be honest with you? There's not a thing in the world that you can do about that. So you probably should quit worrying about that. You need to get your focus on something else. Instead of that, yes, it could very well happen. And again, I won't pretend that it couldn't. It could. But let's assume there is no global conflict. There's no national issues. There's no problem. There's still natural disasters. You remember last year with the flooding and all of that in the southeast? Do you understand that while that was happening, the West Coast was burning down? And there were people literally burning to death in their homes in fires that were coming in Northern California and Oregon and Washington. And all of that was happening. And you didn't hear a whole lot about that on this side of the country because everybody was flooding and dying here. Listen, that stuff happens all the time. And while all that was going on, there were earthquakes and there were terrible things in other parts of the world that didn't make as many headlines because of the immediate tragedy on your back doorstep. And on it goes. You don't know what's going to happen this year. Probably some more of that stuff. And you look at it and you think, that's terrible. That's scary. Yes, terrible. Scary. But let's assume there's no global conflict. There's no military issues. There's no natural disasters. You look ahead into the future and you know what you'll find out? If the Lord doesn't come back soon, we're all going to get old and sick and die. Cheer up. That's what you got to look forward to, isn't it? That's the payoff for a long life. You get old and sick and die. Well, that's horrible. You shouldn't even say that on Sunday morning. It's true. We just don't like to think about it. We think we're going to be around forever and we'll always be well and we'll always be healthy and everything will always be nice. I don't want to be ugly, but that's just not the case. Not the case. You see, this life is full of trouble and it's full of sorrow. You better have something else to look forward to. If all you have is this life, it's going to be gone like that. And you've just wasted your whole life. Why would you spend all of your life focused on a few decades when you could focus on what never ends? You could focus on eternity. Yes, there will be difficult things that come in the lives of each and every one of us. But you know what God has promised us in the future? Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 1. Let me show you from the Word of God. Philippians chapter number 1. Excuse me, chapter number 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you notice that verse 6 is instruction for what we ought to do? Verse number 7 is future. Verse number 7 is what happens when we bring our requests before God with thanksgiving. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Yes, there could be terrible tragedies that happen in our world. Yes, there could be natural disasters. Yes, we may face physical hardships and sickness and all the rest. And all of those things could and probably will happen. And yet, you know what God has for His children? Peace that passeth all understanding. He never said we wouldn't face those things, but He said, when they come, I have something for you that the world doesn't have. You can have peace that passeth all understanding. The best way I know to illustrate it is a funeral. Have you ever been to the funeral of someone who had no use for God in their life? They hated God. They blasphemed God. They were lost. And that, honestly, that's a horrible place to be for a preacher. Because you can't lie to people and say, well, he's in heaven now. You can't do that. You can't lie to folks. You have to tell them the truth. And so the best you can do in that kind of situation is tell the folks who are there that they can prepare for eternity, that they can trust Christ as Savior. I've seen in those situations people wailing and mourning and nearly crying in or crawling into the casket because they knew they would never see that person again. But by the same token, I've been at the funerals where that person knew Christ as Savior, where the family is saved, where the friends know Jesus Christ. And even though it's a young man and seemingly from our perspective, his life is snuffed out tragically, as we're singing songs about the mercy of God and about our home in heaven, the mother is sitting on the second row with tears pouring down her face and yet a smile on her lips and her hands stuck up in the air toward heaven like that. Why? Because even in the midst of sorrow and separation, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. Because you know the one who's in charge of tomorrow. Oh, you may not know the tragedy that's waiting, but you can know the one who has it all under control. He has peace that passeth all understanding. And then when all of this is over, for the born-again child of God, you know what we get? Heaven for all eternity. That's a blessing, isn't it? To know that when this life is over, whether good or bad or long or short, you can know for sure that heaven is your eternal home. My mother is 89. She'll be 90 in October. And she's in good physical health for her age, and she's had a whole bunch of parts replaced, and that's taking care of some pain issues in the knees and the hips and those kind of things. But now she has dementia. And that's been an interesting journey for us, because that's one of those things that you're not really sure somebody's got until things have gone pretty far. You know what I mean? There's always that doubt and that question if they're just forgetting a few things or if what's going on. And for a while, she had a really hard time. She really did. She was angry. She was frustrated. She would forget things and people would correct her, and that made her mad. And then she couldn't drive, and that made her mad. And everything just made her mad. And she was angry and she was frustrated. And that's just not how my mother is. And then she kind of crossed the hump. She's forgetting more than ever. But now she's happy. She doesn't care. She really doesn't. As a matter of fact, she'll take advantage of it every once in a while. She will. But she's doing great now. She's in good spirits. She laughs easily. She's, every time I call her and talk to her, she's happy. I can ask her what's happened that day, who's been to see her. She always tells me nobody. Nobody ever comes to see her. And then I get the pictures of the big celebration they had that day at the house. And there she is. You know, that's just the way it works. Hey, and we always used to go to Alaska. We would go up in December. We would go to Washington and spend a few days before Christmas with my father-in-law. And then we would fly to Alaska, spend Christmas with my mother and my brothers and sister and all their families. And then we would have meetings in Alaska. And we've just always done that. And then a couple of years ago, it dawned on us that Mom didn't know it was Christmas. We were there. We had our big family gathering. We had our celebration and opened our presents and ate our food and all the rest. And when everybody went home, my mother sitting there said, "When's everybody coming over?" And it was the first time that it had been that glaring. We said, "Well, they were already here." And she said, "Well, when are we going to have our food?" "Well, we just had it." "When are we going to open the presents?" "And Mom, you've got a big pile of presents there and a big pile of boxes over there. We already opened the presents." "Oh." We went through that multiple times that day. The more activity there is, the more easily confused she'll get. And we noticed it severely at that point. And we decided that if she didn't know it was Christmas, then we didn't necessarily have to be there on a specific day if she didn't know it was that day anyway. We can go in July and tell her it's Christmas. No, that would not be right. We didn't do that. Don't do that to people. That's dishonest. But what we did decide is that since she didn't know what it was, we could go in the summer when it's a little easier to get around in Alaska. And then we could do a few more things that we couldn't do in the wintertime and even get her out a little more. And so we started that 2 years ago, and we've been going in the summer. We went up and she was so excited that we were coming. I didn't tell her we were coming until we were 10 minutes from the house. We'd flown all night. We'd driven 3 hours from Anchorage, and I called her 10 minutes from the house. I said, "Mom, we're coming to the house. Not only are we coming, we're going to stay a whole week. We're going to be there." She got excited. She got ready. She was ready to meet us when we got there. We sat around the house. We just laughed and talked and had a great time. And she was just thrilled to death that we were there. And she was in such a good mood. And we were just enjoying each other's company. And all of a sudden, my wife got a joke on her phone. I don't think her phone is saved. My phone gets news and important things. She gets jokes on her phone. And it was the typical internet joke, you know. It wasn't very good. It was what I call a groaner. And she read the joke, and we did the obligatory chuckle. You know, you have to be polite. So we did that. And we thought we'd moved on. And I'd tell you the joke, except it wasn't really a very good joke. It wasn't. He wants to hear the joke. So I'm going to tell you. All right, here we go. Why does a cow have hooves instead of feet? Well, it's because they lack toes. You see what I mean? That's not a good joke. That's a farming science joke. That's not good. That's not good. You just don't do that. So we did what you did. Oh, like that. And then we looked over at my mother, and she was in her chair shaking. She was laughing so hard. She thought it was the funniest joke she'd ever heard in all her life. She's shaking and she's laughing, tears running down her eyes. And so Liz told the joke again, set her off again. And we just did that for hours. We had a great time. No, we did that a few times. And then finally she calmed down and she was fishing around on the table next to her chair. We said, "Mom, what are you looking for?" She said, "I can't find my phone numbers." We said, "Well, who do you want to call?" Now, Mom was in her chair. I was just to her right on the couch. Liz was to my right. Hope and David were on another couch on the other side of the room. She said, "I want to call Mark, that's me, and tell him the joke. But I can't find his phone number." So I'm just watching this as an outside observer. And my wife is a blessing, and she wants to be a blessing. So she said, "Well, I have his phone number." And my mother said, "Would you give it to me?" She said, "Well, sure." Mom picked up a piece of paper and a pencil and carefully wrote down my number. And she picked up the house phone and she called me. I'm just sitting there on the couch. She called me. And so I answered my phone and I picked up a pillow so she couldn't see I was talking to her. Nobody told me how you're supposed to do these things. And she said, "Mark and Liz are here." And Liz just told me a joke, and I want to tell you the joke, but I can't remember the joke. And so she laughed. And my wife wants to be a blessing. So she said, "I'll tell you the joke again." So she told her the joke, and Mom laughed, and then she told me the joke over the phone. And then we sat there, and we laughed a little bit, and then we talked some, because when you're talking to your mom, you talk for a little while on the phone. And then we said goodbye, and I put down the pillow, and I hung up the phone. And my mother turned to me, and she said, "I think there were people there because I heard voices in the background." And we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed. We laughed all night about that silly thing. I know. You're thinking, that's just horrible. That is terrible. It's an awful thing. No. That laughter was real. That joy and that excitement that she was feeling, that was all real. Oh, there was some confusion mixed in, but all the joy was real. And I know that we're not going to get those moments forever. I know what it does, and I know how it ends, and every one of those moments that God gives us, every little bit of the fun, and that we're going to grab onto that, and we are going to hang on to that as long as we possibly can. Because there will be a day we don't get that anymore. Listen, the sad thing about it all is that my kids at 12 and 13, they don't get to know Grandma the way she really was. Listen, my whole life, she was up and active and doing. We'd get the buckets and we'd go pick cranberries and blueberries and she'd make stuff. She just made stuff. She'd start cooking in November and cook till January. And there'd be good stuff on the table every day. We'd get out on the snowmobile and take off through the woods. And as the youngest, my job was to ride behind Mom and hang on for dear life. And that's what I did. Hang on for dear life. That's how I grew up. We did all that stuff all the time. And my kids have never seen that. And they never will. But you know what? They're going to get to see her one day in heaven. And they're going to get to spend eternity with her. And she'll be better there than she ever was here. She's 89. She'll be 90. I don't know how long she'll make it. I told her she should go to 100 because it's not that far down the road. But if you were to talk to my mother today, I did it in January when we were there. I set up my phone and started recording and she didn't know what was going on. I just started talking to her, asking her questions. I asked her when she got saved. She was 12 years old, Brainerd, Minnesota. She told me the name of the church and then she told me the address. She did. She told me what else was on the street and what was across the road. And that's where she heard the gospel in Sunday school and that's where she got saved. And she'll tell you about it just like that. No confusion there. Because of that, there's nothing but good coming down the road. Nothing but good. You know what I've discovered? Most people who don't have anything to look forward to don't have anything to look back on. If you can look back on a day when you know for sure you trusted Christ as Savior, no matter what happens in the next year or decade, there's good stuff coming down the road. And you can look ahead and be thankful for what God has prepared. But if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I'll say this as nicely as I can. There's nothing but bad coming down the road. And when this life is over, it will get worse. Today would be a wonderful day to settle the issue of where you'll spend eternity and walk out of here with thanksgiving and gladness.